everybody. It's good to see you guys again. I know it's been a little while since we've recorded, but guess what? We're back.
Yeah, well, though we are.
Yeah, sorry about the delay there. It's just been going on here at the church. It's been really busy.
That's for sure. You know, we have a lot of activities going on and stuff. So, yeah. But we want to get back to doing this thing.
Absolutely.
And being a little more committed to it, and we feel like the Lord would have us to do it. So, so here we are. We're back at it. Things
here
have been
we
really
are.
Well at our church. That's for sure. So.
Yeah, last year we put on a carnival for the first time, and that was a great time.
Yeah, and vacation Bible school, and just all the way around. We've done a lot of things for the poor and stuff, and it's been pretty exciting. So,
100 ham giveaway, 100 turkey giveaway, and. Yep. Been doing a lot more counseling lately, right, Pastor?
Oh, a lot of counseling, that's for sure. And so it's been crazy, and it's been good. So,
yeah,
so thankful for that.
It has been. We've seen a lot of people change, a lot of people set free, a lot of lives changed, and it's been great. I know it's been a while since we've been on the podcast here, but things have been going great. It's just Lord's really been moving.
Yeah, and since the last time we really did a podcast, then a lot of things have changed, and all my children now got married and moved out, and we have a nephew living with us currently, but other than that, we it's just been a different story. But man, we have things are way better as far as church wise, and church has really done well, and we're so thankful for that, and we're also very grateful for. Just the social media presence that we don't really put out a lot of social media presence, but what we do have, it seems to be really helping people. And so we want to just do this and make it more available. And we're going to try to stick to about a 20 to 30 minute format every time and release them about once a week or so.
Yep.
And for those who want to listen, and obviously there are lots of podcasts out there that you can listen to, and maybe we'll evolve it a little bit more, but for the time being, that's probably what we'll do, and try to make it be something that will bring real health to people spiritually and emotionally and mentally into their souls and stuff, so, as well.
Absolutely. I think that's really important to say, too, is even though there's a lot of podcasts you can listen to, we appreciate you guys listening to ours, and realistically, what we want to do is we're not trying to mass a following. We're not trying to mass, you know, ads.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody wants to sponsor us, we'd be glad to get some new microphones. But
yeah, we never not take money. I mean, we're Baptists, that's for sure. But
you can pay us some money or fried chicken. What we do. So.
That's true. That's for sure. So, but yeah, we're not really doing it for the money or for anything of that nature. What we're doing is just trying to, we know that there are people out there that are serious and they really want to have, a healthy spiritual life, and we want to try to help them with that. And a lot of people are struggling or stuck in some ruts, so to speak. And,
mm-hmm.
and so we're just trying to help them through those things. And
absolutely.
Been seeing the Lord do a lot of that in our church lately. So.
Yep. Just to clarify, too, I mean, lately we've been working a lot on our YouTube channel. We've been trying to get things looking more and more professional there. And
yes.
And I'm proud to say that now we're putting all of your sermon notes, all your verses that you use on the prompt as you use them.
Oh, good.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it honestly isn't too difficult of a thing. It's just very tedious and time consuming, but it's not too bad. I actually enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing the video work too. And
good.
And it's going great. If you guys want to see our YouTube channel, if you guys want to see what Pastor looks like, you know, you could be shocked. Honestly, his voice sounds so much different than what you'd picture.
Oh, thanks.
And if you guys want to see him preach, if you guys want to hear his full message, you can go to our YouTube channel. Best way to find it is Water from the Rock videos, Water from the Rock by Calvary Baptist Church. It's on YouTube. Otherwise, you can go to our website, bytheblood.org. Right there in the first header, they have a link to the YouTube page there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Absolutely, and you know. So, and again, oh, I didn't go to see it to see me. That's for sure. Just not the thing, but it's just nice to be a part of a service. And I know that there are a lot of people that listen to us on the radio on Sundays, and then tune in on Sundays for our broadcast or for our YouTube download and or whatever it is that y'all call
upload,
it.
But, download, upload, side down, load.
Right. Yep. So one of those loads, and anyway, so. Do that, and then so hopefully it'll be a blessing to somebody, and and they just gain some life out of the matter. So
absolutely, the main thing we want to do is even if this podcast, this specific episode, only helps one person, mm-hmm. they are more than worth the steps that they'll make for the Lord is more than worth it.
Yeah, a little bit of time we put into it, yep. and we pray over much. And listen, I know that our church is really. Take serious the call to pray and to worship the Lord and seek His face and that. And if you got a prayer request and something that you're really heavy and burdened about and something you don't feel like you can prevail in, please contact us. You can email Absolutely. Us or call our church or whatever in any way, and we try to do what we can to help you. And we'll definitely pray about what your situation is. And people take them serious in our church. And we have a lady that's just in charge of prayer ministry as alone as it is, and she makes it her own personal ministry to pray over every need and every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a widow and still got a couple of children at home, but she takes very serious her call to do that, and that's been a major part of our ministry right there. That she's carried a lot of things to the Lord for us, and
Absolutely.
We've been really grateful for that. And you, as you study history, you find a lot of these guys that are really successful in the ministry, they always had somebody back there behind the scenes praying. And so our churches really take that serious about being folks that can pray behind the scenes and pray so that, you know, people can be successful in things. And whether it's marriage or relationships or work or, you know, just personal spiritual life. And so.
Absolutely. And I do actually want to get into that here as the podcast goes down the road, the different types of prayer, how to effectively pray, how you personally will structure your prayer life, how we should structure our prayers, making sure that we make the most of our time. But today, I kind of want to focus more on just letting everybody know that we're back. And then, you know, I was in Bible this morning. I don't get to come to Bible very often, but you were sharing a great truth out of Joshua chapter 1. We've been going through that, and yeah. It was really powerful. You preached on it last night, but let's go ahead and kind of talk about a little bit about Joshua here.
Sure. Well, one of the things that has struck me as far as with Joshua is the fact that, you know, whenever the Lord comes to him, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And so does God just pause there and let Joshua accept that? I mean, is this, you know, the next part of the verse when he tells him to rise and go over Jordan and this and, you know, all that people or whatever? Mm-hmm. And does he wait? Does he, you know, I mean, if somebody comes to me and says, listen, your daddy just died, and then I want you to go do this for a job, I don't think that they would say that.
Now, let me ask you this. Sure. I don't mean to interrupt you here, but how long do you think Joshua knew Moses? How close do you think they were?
Well, he was Moses' minister, and he was kind of a second guy, and so kind of like with you and me and some of my boys, you know, and mm-hmm. Y'all are just basically second men to me, and so, you know, he spent a lot of time with him on a day-to-day basis, and you know, I'm sure that well, we know he knew him for at least 40 years, so you know, a little longer probably, because Moses obviously was hidden on the backside of the desert for 40 years and shows up, so however long this is, you know, basically after, so he's known him for at least 40 years, mm-hmm. And so that's a long time to know somebody, you know.
When's the first time Joshua's mentioned in the Bible? Is it whenever he's holding up Moses' arm? Or is it whenever he's the 12 spies? I don't know.
Probably he was the one that led the battle. It was Aaron and Hur that held up the arms of Moses.
Oh, yeah, so that's right.
That might be the first time that he's mentioned. I'm not really sure off the top of my head. And then he is one of the 12 spies. Him and Caleb are the two good ones. They go into the promised land there in Numbers 13 and stuff. So I don't know. I know he was called Jehoshua at one point by Moses, which... You know, of course, there's kind of a special meaning to it. But any which way, though, with the Lord, the Lord saying those things to Joshua, you know, I just, you know, I have to meditate on that. You know, is that because I'm sure Joshua would have been kind of a bit, but I'm sure at the same time, though, he probably was thinking it was time. You know,
mm-hmm.
He knew the prophecies. He knew what the Lord had said. He knew Moses, and I'm sure Moses had told him he couldn't go in the promised land. I'm sure he's, you know, there are things that they shared with one another, and Moses probably didn't keep it to himself that God told him he couldn't go, and Joshua probably might have thought maybe he's going to be the guy who leads him, and again, he might have thought of somebody else, but I think you do see some timidness about Joshua. Everybody sees him as a great commander and general, but I don't think that the Lord would need to tell him to be strong and a good courage so many times if he wasn't kind of a timid fella and kind of a little nervous and maybe anti-confrontational kind of guy. And I don't think he's just necessarily that commanding general, let's fight, and then we'll talk about it later kind of guy, you know. And
so in the Bible, you see two different words. You see meekness and you see timidness, or meek and timid.
Yeah.
What's kind of the difference between those? I mean, I know that we've talked about this before, you and me have.
Meek is, it's a humility and a softness. It's just an anti, you know, it's just,
confrontation.
Well, I don't know if anti-confrontational, but it's just, it's a meek person is really just very humble, and they're always about
not being the one in the light, being
right,
the star.
Right, just trying to make somebody else better, and it's always about other people. They always make everything about other people. But it doesn't mean that they back down from a fight. It doesn't mean they're scared. They're just timid, on the other hand, implies more of, I'm a little scared to do that. You know, meek is more of, I'll fight if I have to, but that's the last thing I want to do. You know, so it's, you know, I remember being in school and things of that nature. There were some guys that were always looking for fights, and some guys, you know, would be bully or whatever. And then there was guys who were, they weren't at all about fighting, but they weren't backing down from one if it came their way. So that'd be more meek. Timid would be more of, I need to find a way out of this if possible. And, you know, maybe just, timid would be, I would do it. But at the same time, though, I just don't want to do it, you know.
Sure.
Trying, you know, everything in me just is scared to do it. You know, it's one thing to be, not want to do it, and you're confident, well, if I do it, I do it. It's not the end of the world. It's another thing to be scared of it, and I think Timothy was a little more that way. And so God comes to Joshua, and he tells him, he says, I want you to go over this Jordan. I often wonder whether or not he would have spent much time there between that, but then I got to thinking about it, and something you had said, Tyler, was the fact that, he might have expected it to come, and he might have been chomping at the bit, going, well, I can't wait till we go over, you know, we know that this time is about full, but there would have been the personal side of him. But the Lord tells him to go over the Jordan there, and this is really the thing that we talked about a lot, and we talked about a lot this week in Bible class, and even in church last night. And then he tells him, he says, I want you to go over the Jordan, you know, thou and all this people or whatever, and to possess the land. And he starts to tell him a little bit about that. And so we see in Joshua 1, he goes through those things. And I'm sure Joshua's, you know, listening to him. He's excited about it. But he also knows that Joshua's probably a bit timid, or he knows that maybe if he's not timid at that moment, maybe he's excited. He knows he's going to face some things. And he knows that the things that he faces are going to be really testing of his faith. Now, maybe he's already nervous going, this is exciting, but at the same time, I'm also cautious because I know that there is real danger here. And then maybe again, it could be that he's going across and he's all gung-ho and all ready to go, but then God knows that down the road, he's going to face a couple of things that are going to really challenge his faith, and he's going to want to give up. And so the Lord tells him, And he gives him a promise there in Joshua 1:5, and it's quite the promise. He tells him, he says, as I was with Moses, he says, so I'll be with thee. But he tells him before that, though, he says, that there not be any man be able to stand before thee. He says there should not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's quite the promise, the fact that nobody's going to be able to stand before you. Nobody's going to be able to. What it means is to stand before you means like literally to withstand you, to hinder you, or to stop you, you know. And so the Lord's saying there that, hey, listen, I'm going to be with you, and here's my promise to you for the rest of your life, not just for the next couple of years, because it takes about a year to 2 years, year and a half, 2 years to battle through and conquer the 31 kings and kingdoms. But it's going to be for the rest of his life. You know, Joshua's here, what, 85 when this is all done? You know, and he lived to be 110 or whatever it is. I forget how old he was when he dies.
Can't remember.
And this is going to be for the next umpteen years, you know, that God's going to be with him. If the Lord comes to me and says, hey, listen, you're 53, and I'm going to be with you the rest of your life, no man's going to be able to stand against you. you know, I don't know whether I'm going to live to be, you know, 60 or if I'm going to live to be, you know, 85 or whatever. But, you know, if I live to be 85, that's 32 more years, you know. And I mean, that'd be, wow, you know. And so however old Joshua was, I mean, he gets this promise, and then it goes even better. He says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Now, to us, that might mean something, you know, pretty neat. But to, again, he had saw God with Moses all the time. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, when Moses came down off the mountain, he saw Moses' face glowing, you know, whenever he came down off the presence of God. And all the things that Moses, when Moses probably told him, God made all his glory pass before me this day, you know, made all his goodness pass before me.
So, wasn't Joshua the one that had went up partway up the mountain with?
Yeah, Joshua was one of the couple that did.
So you think he might have seen that, those storm clouds that kind of blocked
Well, they all saw God the storm clouds, and some of them got scared, but he, on the other hand. But, you know, could you imagine when Moses came down off the mountains, like his face is glowing, and, you know, Joshua was like, what happened? And I asked God to show me all his glory, and he made all his goodness pass before me that day. It was crazy, you know. And you know, so those, the experiences that Moses had with the Lord would have been thrilling to Joshua. And the experiences that Moses and Joshua had together was amazing, but even more so, all the stories he told.
Yeah, I wonder if he was able to overhear anything when he was on that mountain. You know what I mean? Like, whatever he heard, you know, Moses talking to God.
Yeah, I think they heard thunderings and stuff, so yeah.
To me, if I were Joshua in that situation, I think I would have been super excited and like, man, I wish I could have been there. Oh my gosh, I hope I can experience that one day. At the same time, very scared going, what's going to happen when God shows up and I'm there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, sure.
Because, I mean, I don't know if Joshua ever struggled with that, but feeling less than, you know, am I really who I'm supposed to be, you know?
Right.
And, you know.
Well, I think we all kind of struggle with that as well. I mean, I think everybody, that's a battle everybody deals with as well. But what's amazing is he tells him, he says, as with Moses, I'll be with thee. And so he's saying that, listen, the same power, the same presence, the same goodness, all those things that Moses experienced, he says, you're going to have. And he had saw Moses part the Red Sea. He saw Moses, you know, pray a manna down from heaven. He saw Moses seeing the quails. He saw Moses hold up his hands, and he was able to destroy the Amalekites, you know.
Saw the water from the rock. Which
the water, smite the rock, yeah, and the water from the rock, exactly.
Our namesake.
Yeah, exactly. And nice plug, Tyler. And
yeah, well, there you go. In case you didn't know, this is the Water from the Rock podcast.
Exactly.
Turn in every week.
I'd tune into that if I were you. Yeah. So, but... you know, he was able to see all those things, and he saw the provisions and all the goodness that was showed to him. And, you know, he saw the love that God gave him and how many times he protected him with Korah and all the different things that went on there. And so those have been really encouraging to him and have been real life to him. And the idea that if the Lord, you know, comes to a person and says, listen, you saw this person in your life that was, you saw all these amazing things, I'm going to be with you and you're going to experience the same thing. So when he says that, it's literally that's how he feels. And so then he tells him even further, and this is, I think, the thing that really, really spoke to my heart. And he says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. And he says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the thing that we talked about in our class the last couple of days, and we talked about in church last night for a little bit as well, and he says, I'll not fail thee. The word fail literally means to be weak or be idle towards you. So what he's saying is this, I won't be weak, I won't be idle concerning you. So every time, everything you face, I'm going to be present and I'm going to be strong. And every time you need me, I'm there. Every battle you face, I'm there. And so that's what I think he was saying to him. And no matter what you go through, I'm right there, and I'll be strong on your behalf. And it's nice to have somebody on your side, and it's nice to have somebody on your side that can fight for you and be strong for you.
Absolutely.
And then he tells him, he says, I'll not forsake you. The word forsake means to relinquish or refuse. So he's saying, I won't let go of you, I'll never let go of you, and then I'll never refuse you. Anytime you need me, I'm there. I'm not going to refuse you. I'm not going to tell you no. You know, as long as you stay within my parameters and my will, I'm not going to tell you no. And so God tells him this promise, and then right after that, of course, he tells him to be strong with a good courage. And the reason why, it's not because he's going to go into the battles, but because he wants him to keep the word of God. And it wasn't so that he could go into battle and conquer the land and advance the kingdom. He wasn't telling them to be strong and encouraged for that. Where, of course, we said strong, and the word strong means literally to be obstinate or stubborn, but in a good way, not in a bad way, because that's the same as rebellion and idolatry and witchcraft. Sure. But he means to be strong as in, like, I am never going to quit. You know, if people get in their minds, I'm never going to quit on my marriage. I'm never going to quit, you know, serving God or whatever. That means to be strong. And then he says, of good courage, that means to fortify your mind. Get yourself so strong mentally that yourself so fortified mentally that you can't ever become discouraged.
So be mentally tough.
Yeah, mentally tough. And so he tells him to do that, not because he's going to go in to face these battles and these kings, and he's going to face some horrendous battles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a David and Goliath situation every time, just about. However, though, or at least in the three major ones, obviously, but what he's telling, or at least in the three major parts of the campaigns, and because it's broke down in three campaigns, but anyway, what he's saying is, I want you to be strong and be a good courage, be mentally strong and unmovable, to that thou mayest observe to do all that's written therein, and observe my law. Because then he says, that will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. It wasn't that he wants him to go in and advance his kingdom. He wants him to make sure that he's strong to keep the word of God and keep the promises of the word of God. Keep your prayer life, keep your Bible study up, keep your practices up, keep showing love, keep forgiving. Because sometimes you don't want to forgive. Sometimes you don't want to love. Sometimes you don't want to let go of. And sometimes you don't want to be kind. And sometimes you don't want to be nice. And sometimes you don't want to be those things. Sometimes I don't want to think about good things. Sometimes I want to think about bad things. Or sometimes I want to be lazy. And sometimes it's hard to do. You know,
yeah.
Exactly. So he's saying, be strong. Don't quit on it. And he says, if you do that, then as you go forward, you're going to have good success. So what we're doing is we're asking God to make us strong, and we're trying to be a strong, good courage so we can advance God's kingdom, or so we can have a better marriage, whatever. You need to be strong, good courage that you not forsake the law. And then he even tells him, he says, in verse 8, he says, thou shalt meditate. He goes, you know, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, you know, and he says, meditate in it day and night, you know, that thou mayest observe to do all this according as written therein, you know. And so the reason why that is, again, of course, is so that they could be prosperous and then have good success. And he tells them again, have I not commanded thee, be strong and very courageous, you know. So he keeps reminding him, I'll be with you, you stay strong, because I know the battles that lie ahead with you, but not one of them. And as I said before, Ai, they took casualties, but other than that, no other battle they took any casualties that I saw. Maybe I misread it, but I never saw him take any of the casualties. It's amazing going in all those battles and never take any casualties.
That's crazy.
And the only reason why they did is because of sin in the camp. Mm-hmm. The reason why we take casualties is because of sin in our life. You know, if we would get strong and courageous and try to stick to living for the Lord like we should and practicing those things, everything we do would be successful, and we'd have, you know, our way would be prosperous. And so that's God lines that out for Joshua, and Joshua lives it. And that promise is available to each one of us. Just don't lay it down. You know, it's a sword for you, but you got to have it out using it. Doesn't do you any good to sit in the sheath. You know, you can have a promise, but you ain't using it. Ain't going to do you any good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God promised me this. Well, put it to use then, and that way it'll come to pass, you know. And so as long as you put it to use. And, you know, a long time ago, the Lord promised me that I would always be full-time in the ministry for the rest of my life. There were 2 years of my life where I wasn't full-time. You want to know why I wasn't? Because I put the promise down.
Really?
Yeah, I put the promise down. And when I did, I realized I put it down. I felt like the Lord told me in my heart not to put it down, but I did, because I was listening to, you know, people as I thought they knew best, and the Lord was telling me, no, I told you not to do that. And then after a couple of years doing that, three years, I forget exactly how long it was, I was like, that's it, I'm done. I got to do what God tells me to do. And then I've been here ever since. So Lord, 3 weeks later, the Lord put me here. After I made the decision, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to go back. 3 weeks later, I was living in Charles City, Iowa.
So. 20 years out of your life sentence on the tundra, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So
American
and
Siberia.
The Lord's been really good to us ever since. So
yeah, except for the weather. Real cold. Actually, you know, this year we've had
a
really good
winter.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So
maybe global warming is real.
maybe. So
either way, if spring's coming already, that's great. I wish I would trim
my
peach tree.
So that's for sure. But
anyway, back on what you're talking about, there's some amazing promises that are listed there right away. No man's going to stand before you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to put you away. I'm going to make you be someone of value. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is let me make you mentally tough. Don't forsake the law and make you mentally tough.
Well, mentally tough, but basically he tells him to become mentally tough or whatever so that he can stick to the word of God.
Okay.
So it isn't so much that you're going to be mentally tough. I'm not mentally tough, and I know you might think that I am or whatever. I am not. I give in too easily. I get discouraged too easily. I get tossed about too easily. I struggle with bouts of discouragement and emptiness just like anybody else. And that what he's saying is, though, is even when you're battling those things, you make the decision, I'm not quitting even though I don't feel like it. And even though I don't feel like serving God, even though I don't feel like doing the right thing, you keep doing it. Like, you know, the old song, Do Right mm-hmm. Till the Stars Falls, you know. And I know Bob Jones used to preach, do right, do right, do right. So you do that, and while you're doing that, you find ways to get yourself mentally back on track so that you're not stuck in those ruts, okay? And so you're not stuck in those valleys. You find ways to fortify yourself mentally as you're doing it. So it's not something that, you know, only the people who are mentally strong can do this. No, it's just the opposite. He's saying we're not mentally strong, so you just settle in your heart. You're going to stick to it no matter how bad the beating you is you take, no matter how bad the devil kicks you. You keep doing it until you figure out a way to where you can get yourself out of that rut, until you find a promise from God that gets you out of that sadness or the depression or that emptiness or whatever it is you're facing, and you keep observing, and you be strong to do that, because when you do that, while you're doing that through those times, not only are you changing, but you're literally sowing seeds of righteousness that you're going to reap of, that's going to be so prosperous and so successful down the road for you. You'll have a better marriage for it down the road. You'll have better relationships. You'll find the right guy or the right girl. You'll find the right job. You'll get things will happen in your church that really change that, just mm-hmm. going to be more fruitful for you and all that kind of stuff. So that's what he's saying. And if that makes better sense, so.
Absolutely it does. But anyway, kind of what I was going to ask though is there's all these amazing promises right away in this, you know, chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Of the first chapter of the book of Joshua, whenever he first takes over power. But we see that Joshua is someone who's a little more timid, a little more shy, a little bit more, you know, gun-shy, definitely. And a lot of people relate to that. Do you think these promises are available for anybody, or is that more of a leadership thing?
No, I think it's, I mean, I don't know. The Lord gave it to me long before he ever put me in the ministry. But I often felt like God was kind of calling me in the ministry. Matter of fact, where I first got this promise was back in, we had just moved to Iowa back whenever I worked for Walmart, and back in 1993, you know, the summer of 93, and we had moved, and it was right before your birthday. We moved, your birthday's in July, and we moved in July, and the Lord gave me this promise. I felt like when we got here, the Lord was just, I was just distant, and a buddy of mine said, you need to get on your face before God, not get up until he speaks to you. And I did exactly that, and I can tell you the spot where we lived in Carroll, Iowa, and actually Glidden, but I worked in Carroll, and I got on my face and just sought the Lord until he spoke to me, and this was the passage of Scripture that he gave me. And matter of fact, I got invited to preach at our church there. Brother Bowersock was the guy planting the churches before Pastor Smith had came, before we even knew who he was, and he asked me to speak, and I spoke out of that passage, and the Lord really got in that just that night. And anyway, it was only a 10-minute sermon, but boy, it was good. It was really exciting. I could just feel the presence of God in it. And so then the Lord gave me those promises. And so, yeah, I felt like he was calling to preach, but I really believe this passage is for anybody. I believe it's just a matter of you coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I want that promise. You know, kind of like Caleb, I want that mountain. You know, that's the mountain that I feel like God's promised me. And I think those promises in the Scripture are available to you unless it specifically says, you know, that's not available to you. You know, if you're a guy, you can't have a baby. I don't care what society says today. You know, a man is born a man. He doesn't have a baby, but he can have a baby with a woman. You know, he just can't carry a child, you know, mm-hmm. really. And, you know, there are certain things that God designs you to do or not do. You know, there are certain promises in the Scripture that are going to be specifically for this person or for this thing, but the rest of it's all available to us. And there are books out all around. You'll see 2,000 promises in the Scripture. I found one, 7,700. A guy bought me a book. He goes, I found this. He goes, 7,700 promises of the Scripture, and bought it for me. 2 weeks later, somebody else bought me a book and says, he goes, that's all the promises in the Bible right there. And I was like, really? And I just got right with the Lord, you know, and I didn't know. I thought, wow, that's neat that God gave me 7,700 promises. couple of weeks later, somebody bought me a promise, or bought me a book. Says all the promises of Scripture, 13,400 promises of Scripture.
Oh my gosh.
I thought, boy, this is getting better. It's just getting more and more. You know,
is that just every verse of the Bible at that point?
Exactly. And I was like, how many? I have no clue how many promises there are. I've got a few from the Lord, and but you just go and you get them. And Bible says that by faith, there in Hebrews 11:33, that by faith they obtain the promises. And that's what we got to do. We got to obtain them. We got to, by faith, step out and claim them and put them to use.
Absolutely.
They're just swords for you to pick up and use in battle. It's all they are. And they're more than that. But I'm just saying, though, that for us, there's swords for us to pick up in battle and win what it is we're fighting against. You know, if I'm having a problem in a marriage, then I go to the Scripture and get a promise about a marriage. If I'm having a problem in my children, I go to the promise and go to the Scripture and get promises about children. If I'm having a problem, you know, with my own personal life, my own sinfulness, or my own anxiety, or my own, you know, defeat or discouragement, or my own health or whatever, I go and I get a promise. And so you pick those up, and they're available for you to use. They're just tools laying on God's workbench, saying, "Here, pick them up and use them while you're working on your vehicle." So you pull your life into the garage of God and put those promises to work, and God, listen, He never fails your forsaken. You know, He won't let you down. He won't be idle. He'll be right there doing it. So that's what we ought to do.
Absolutely. Amen. So I really appreciate you taking the time here this morning, Pastor. Rather this afternoon, and I really wish we could keep talking here, but I know that we're just right around the 30-minute mark, wrapping up past the 30-minute mark here. So we'll definitely have to kind of wrap up the end of this candy bar and save it for next week. But Yeah, I'm lying. I don't ever save a candy bar. I just eat it all. But anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in today to the Water from the Rock podcast. Once again, I know it's been a while since we've been here, but thank you guys for coming back. Thank you for being patient. It's great to be back. And tell you what, something yeah. I've really been missing doing is the podcast.
Yeah, me too. And I really enjoy it. And I think now with all the time like it is and with everything, the way things are kind of changing for us time, it's something we're going to have to be able to definitely be able to get back to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to that as well. So, it's something that I think we really ought to put a lot more conscious effort into, just making it even better and better. I think improve our sound equipment and that kind of thing. And so
yeah. Next big thing is we're going to get a table for in here so we can lean on the table.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, anyway, thanks guys again for tuning into the Water from the Rock podcast today. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, if you guys want to see our YouTube channel, it's Water from the Rock by Calvary Baptist Church. If you guys want to be able to find it a little bit easier than just putting that on YouTube, you can go to our website, bytheblood.org. It's on the header that you could just click right there. Also, there is a sermon archive on there where we upload sermons. Several of our sermons, almost every one of them, are going to be on there. And you can just go through and listen to all of them. It's going to get a lot more in depth like this we talked about today. That message is actually already up there ready to go in a little bit more detail. Otherwise, we got the message. I put down crossed hands. I need to fix that. But it's crossed blessings, a sermon you preached about 2 weeks ago in church.
I remember that now.
Phenomenal message. I thought it was. Really changed kind of my view. Me not being the firstborn makes me feel a lot better. Anyway, if you want to get that reference, go listen to that message. It was awesome. Otherwise, thank you guys again for tuning in. If you guys need anything, our contact information, our email, our phone number, our snail mail address, it's all there on the website, 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 641-228-5362, bytheblood.org.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. See you next week. Remember, Lord loves you. Have a great day.